Yeah, this is a wonderful, wonderful day. It's the day that the Lord has made, and I don't know about you, but I think I'm going to be glad and glad in it, right? Rejoice and be glad in it. You know, sometimes I like to start off with some thanksgiving, and I want to just thank this congregation. I want you to know that we've just come through the holiday season, but we had a food drive and we had a coat drive. We had our holiday chair for seniors, and then we had our adopt-a-family. And I want you to know that this congregation donated. So I just want to thank you for the generosity, because I really do believe that, you know, more and more community is going to be vastly important for us. There's so much going on, and we are going to need one another more than we ever have perhaps before. And I'm just so thrilled the way community, it's happening even organically. People are standing up, speaking out for those who cannot speak for themselves or those who are being harmed by this administration. And it's like people are waking up, even though some of us have experienced the harm and all that. We've known this was going on for hundreds of years, right? It's been our experience. But others are now like, wait. This is not the way we should be treating one another. And sometimes, you know, you don't wake up till it's in your own backyard. Yep. But that's okay. I'm not mad at that, because I think it's going to take all of us waking up and recognizing there has to be a greater choice for humanity, that there's something deeper and better in our souls than what we are demonstrating right now. Because as you see, you know, you could throw money at people and it'll bring out the worst in them. You know, and so, but we also see that this inhumanity is bringing out the best in some people. And so I was also delighted to know that I think some people in Congress woke up and said, you know, if we cut off all of these health care aids and remedies, we're going to have something on our hands. So I'm glad that there's some negotiation, and something that they thought was dead, or we thought was dead, is being turned around and looked at again. And I think some people are waking up and coming to their senses. You can't deny the people basic necessities for life, what is needed. So we'll continue to do our part. I just wanted to thank you for that, for, you know, stepping up, stepping in, sharing out of your goodness. Because none of us knows tomorrow who it might be, me, or it might, you know, we don't know. So we're here to really love and support one another, you know, in that good, quote, Christian faith. Because some of the Christian faith I see happening out there is foreign to me. And I think it would be foreign to Jesus as well. But we are honoring that call to look after. You know, we're each other's keepers. So I just wanted to thank you for this wonderful, outstanding season. And it's also, we did a video about it too. So if you get a chance, you're on YouTube or whatever, hopefully you'll see that. But this is our second week. Last week, we talked about Running with the Horses in 2006. And so I said, okay, Lord, what should we do? And the Spirit said, part two, let's go. Part two is let's go. Now, I don't know if you are still as excited as you were about this new year as I am. I'm still very excited about it. Or has the excitement already faded? You know, it don't take long for us to move, slip right back into old habits, right? To our past conditioning, because these things are with us, and some of them are rooted deeply in our sense of being. So they don't fade quickly and easily. And so even though we might have felt good that first week, yeah, I'm going to do this, the second week, you're like, well, okay, maybe tomorrow or whatever. Because habits really don't fade easily, or our preconditions or pre-programming that we've had, you know, it takes a lot of work sometimes, or to have even a breakthrough if we've been established in doing something a certain way or thinking a certain way. Even when we want to change, I want to give this up, but yet we are pulled back. So it's going to take a work in consciousness and energy. And I'm thinking, thank God we still have a little bit more time. We still have a little bit more time. Now, last week, as you know, I spoke about 2000, this year, this new year of 2026 or 2026, that it is called the year of the fire horse, right? where things are going to begin to move very swiftly and powerfully in this new year, and that we have an opportunity to begin anew, because this is also, not only is it the year of the fire horse, it's year one in a 10-year growth cycle. It's year one, actually year one and year 10 at the same time. But that year one of a 10-year cycle of growth and transformation. And it's powerful because simultaneously, it's a 10-year cycle, but that 10th year is also considered the 1 year, because one and zero, if you add them together, equals what? One. But there's something powerful about the 10th energy. You know, when you take it to the 10th energy. And as I shared last time, that 10, that one, it's a new year, it's a beginning year, it's a year one, but it's also a year 10 at the same time. And that when you take that one and you combine it with what looks like nothing, one and zero, but that zero is everything. That zero, metaphysically and spiritually, represents the Alpha and the Omega, where there's, you know, the beginning and the ending, or where there is no beginning and there is no what? Ending. And God, we know, has no beginning, and God has no what? No ending. So when you get to the 10th year, even though it equals one, the beginning, it also equals the time in which we have an opportunity not to just begin anew, but we have an opportunity to move into that 10 where we are coupled now consciously with God's source. We take our energy and we couple it with God's energy, the divine energy, so that we're not just beginning anew, but we are actually in a state of creation. See, you can begin, when you start something, you're beginning anew. You may be starting something over, but creation is a little different than just beginning again. Creating is you are what? Forming something new, fashioning something new, yeah. Right? And we fashion that out of the God energy, because God is the ultimate, what, creator, yes. Right? And we are made in that image and after that likeness of the creator. So what we do is we sort of combine our energies with divine energies to create. So this is a year for us to actually, this 2026 year is to create, not just begin again, not just start all over. We're not starting over. We're creating something new this year, right? This is it. So this is the time for us to create. So we want to be able to say, well, I'm with, let's go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. So if you knew what I talked about last week, and if you've missed the message, I want you to go back and look at it on YouTube, because it'll make sense of what I'm talking about today. Hopefully you'll still be able to get some kind of a message today, but it would help you to go back. I recommend that you check it out on YouTube or whatever. Now, the reason why I say we still have time, even though we may have slipped back a little bit or some other old habits, we haven't been able to just break them up, we still have some time, because 2025 was a year of what? Release. It was a year of shedding, the year of setting, of letting go. And that was the year of the snake, right? And the snake, every time it grows, it sheds its skin. It has to let something go in order to create something new. And when I look at sometimes at my bedroom, I realize I haven't let a lot of things go. I just keep adding. My mother just said, you got to let some of this stuff go. So I've got a remedy for that. This year's going to be the time where I'm just going to be letting a whole bunch of stuff go. But so this, we still have some time, because the year of the snake doesn't totally end on January 1st. And matter of fact, the fire horse doesn't really begin energetically until February 17th, 2026. That's when the energy is full force. So we got some time between now and February 17th to do some review to see, well, what else do I need to let go? What else do I need to be released and freed from? What else do I need to shed in my life that, you know, isn't serving me well or keeping me stuck, keeping me from moving forward? And we all have it. We all got stuff, and we put it aside. But no, what else is lurking back there that I haven't addressed in my life that's keeping me from moving forward? Because this is the time to move forward. This is the energy that is provided for us by the fire horse. Now, one of the things that I was reading about when I was researching on this whole nature of the fire horse is that it's unique and it's rare and it's special because it only comes around every 60 years. So the last time that we had a fire horse year was in 1966. And so I thought, well, you know, as metaphysicians, we better make the most of this energy now while it is here, because I'm not sure how many of us are going to be here for the next 60 years. We're metaphysicians. We may. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I don't want to take that guarantee. I'm going to utilize the time I have right now. If it ain't coming around to another 60 years, then this is the time to use it. This is the time to make the most of the energy that is available. So I want to share some of the qualities. I said, let me look up some of the qualities for the fire horse. And these are the words. Internal energy. And we know that we all have internal energy. That's the spirit, right? Because horses can be very what? Spirited, right? They have internal energy that wants to just move. So we too have internal energy, right? The fire horse has passion. It symbolizes passion, which means that's that energy to do, but there's a love attached to the doing. There's a passion. The heart is involved, right? The heart. When your heart's on fire, you have what? Passion. When the heart is on fire, you're like, yes, I'm committed to this, right? So the fire horse represents passion. Also, a drive for transformation, because that horse is changing. It wants to move, and we want to be transformed. So the fire horse is symbolizing a drive, right, an impetus to transform and to move. It also symbolizes independence, you know, because horses, they can work together, but this also is a sense of independence. Charisma. The fire horse is charisma, because when you have charisma, you have the ability to do what? To kind of draw people to you, yeah. Right? We've all known those charismatic people where you just kind of want to be in their presence, so there's something about them that we feel that we should be close to, right? Jesus himself said, if I be lifted up, I'm going to draw all men unto me, right? Wherever he walked, the people, they knew there was something about him that they wanted to be close to and get next to and whatever, not only because they saw the miracles and the feeding of the 5,000 and those kind of the healing, but there was also, he had a drawing power. And when we are really in our element and in our authentic selves, there's a drawing power, a charisma that we have. When you are shining your light and you're in that place of your best and highest self, it's going to draw more. Light draws more light, yeah. Right? So you're going to draw those people who are of a like mind. And those people that ain't on your level gonna move away, right? Or they'll try to come closer, but you know, you like, okay, you can come closer. But only if you're bringing what? A high vibration. You're bringing something good. So that's that charisma that this fire horse brings. It brings a sense of freedom. Horses wanna go, there's a sense of freedom. It brings about bold action. Like the fire horse is on fire, it's bold, right? So the action is not hidden, it's bold action. Innovation, right? We talked about creating. A 10-year, we want to create, we want to innovate. Breaking, it says, breaking old patterns. Breaking out, breaking old patterns. Creativity. So these are all positive qualities. Now, there are some limiting qualities that we want to be on the lookout for. Because the fire horse can also bring an impulsiveness. Sometimes when you want to move before you really thought about, should I be moving in this direction, right? And we've all, you know, we've had those impulses where we've just acted boldly before we really brought in a little bit of wisdom and understanding, right? So you have to look at the fire, because that's the nature wants to move. We got to make sure that our movements are guided and directed and on point and on purpose, but not just, you know, blindly moving. So there can be an impulsiveness, an impulsive energy that we want to be on aware of, which could make us, allow us to have what we call rash decisions and rash ideas, right? Which is why we want to be plugged into our intuitive sense of self. We want to be plugged into source. So our movement has purpose, right? It's not just out of there. And sometimes the fire horse energy can also be stubborn, right? I ain't moving nowhere. I'm gonna sit here and eat my grass or whatever. I don't feel like moving. That can be, you know. Or sometimes when they're in a race, you know, the little jockey has to give the horse a little, and I always hate that, but they give it a little tap to kind of make it move faster if it's a little too sluggish. But sometimes the fire horse energy can be very strong and very stubborn in its way. So we want to look out for that as well, because that means we could be a little inflexible. I know where I want to go, and I'm not going over there, but maybe over there is where we need to be. But we're inflexible, so we want to watch that a little bit. And sometimes with the fire horse energy, we can be a little too direct. And sometimes I have to watch this, because I am a native New Yorker. I'm a girl from Brooklyn. And sometimes we don't like all the, you know, the Southerners, you Southerners, and I consider Washington, D.C. on the tip of Southern. But sometimes, you know, you can't just go, hey, how you doing? You got, how's your mama, how's your cousin, how's your grandfather, everybody all right? Before you can get around to saying what you want to say, you got to set the scene, right? And, you know, I'm used to like, hey, this what it is. We doing what we doing, blah, 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 blah. That's my New York. And I don't mean anything by it, but New York, we don't have too much time for the fluff. We just go right on down to where we need to be. So sometimes everybody can't handle that. So again, you have to watch if that energy is too strong, too direct. How do you have what? Temperance. Got to have a little temperance. Got to have a little balance. Got to have a little softness as well as that strength. It has. You're going to be strong, but you got to have that strength also, knowing when you have to have softness, right? When you should do that. But I think it's safe that probably the positive attributes of the fire horse far outweigh the negative or the limited qualities of being. And so it's important, I think, that we can capitalize on this, because we all could use some transformative energy right about now. We could also all use this sense of new growth and new, because everything is new. We don't know how our country, or much less even the world, is going to look like in 10 years, right? There's a whole cycle. And we know that, I mean, just in one, look how much change happened in 1 year. Not even a full year yet, right? Completely. And I think we'll get some things back, but it's not going to be exactly like it was. We are going to be a different nation, right? So how, if that's the case, then how do we want things to be, right? For this new 10-year cycle of growth? Because this is our time to set some things up. This is the time to set some things up, to plant some seeds as to how you want your life to unfold and look like within the next 10 years, within this next 10-year of growth cycle. What do you want? See, a lot of times we just do life. We're just doing life. And life sometimes is just doing us. But what do you want in these next 10 years? How do you want your life to unfold? Have you given any thought to the direction of your life? Is it going in the direction you want? And if it isn't, what do you want to do about that? You see? Because the energy to actually accomplish, that's the other thing, to accomplish and to do and to create and to achieve is in this first energy of the fire horse, right? So what do you want to do? Because you actually set up the course of action that you're going to take. Because who holds the reins of the... You hold the reins of the horse. You gotta pull the reins and say, you know what? We need to go left. Come on. We need to speed up, slow down, go here. You hold the reins. So the power to set the direction for your life is in your hands. But if you have not given any thought to what's happening and you're just letting life do, you're going to be like a wild runaway horse. Lots of energy, lots of movement, but you're going nowhere fast. You're just moving. And if you've seen a wild horse, it's just because it loves that speed and that ability to gallop in the movement. It's going, where's it going? Don't know, it's just moving. So sometimes that's how we live our lives. We're just moving. And then we end up someplace, I don't know how I got over here. The horse just took me there. But you have the ability to also be able to guide the horse. And so it's very important that we use this time to really begin to say, what is the direction of my life? This is your time to move with purpose. We're going to move. Things are going to move whether we like it or not. But why not move with purpose? right? Set your sight on where you want to go and then move in that direction. Now, sometimes when we set our sights to move in a particular direction, sometimes Spirit will do what? Course correct for us and move us in another direction. That's okay too. But you must be a participant in the process. You pick up the reins and you start the journey. You get your energy moving where you want to go. And then Spirit will do the rest of guiding and leading and directing you. But you have to actualize your own life. And the key to actualizing your life, which is bringing your life to the energy of life into your life, to actualize your life, you have to, and your intentions and your desires and all that, you have to be about action. To actualize your life, you have to be about what? Action. You have to act. You have to move, right? Now, the threat to action or actualization is actually hesitation and procrastination, right? That's the threat to actualization. And, you know, it puts what I call, I wrote that in here, it puts, when you give in to that, both of those things can put a damper on the delivery, you know? And it can also say it delays your destination. You still may get there, but you went all around Robbins Bond, up the hill, down here, whatever, because you didn't know where you were going. And you ended up someplace. It can delay. So this whole thing of really bringing our lives to bear, to actualize, to set the intention and the direction and the course, you know, we have to be willing to step out and to take action. Now, I suffer from procrastination. And I know I'm not the only one, but I do. And I can't tell you that it has caused probably more harm in my life than anything else, you know, because I delayed this or what. And I don't know why I always do it. There's some psychology and some spirituality around it. But I know that it's not the thing that really serves me well, yet I do it. Yet I do it all the time. I wrote this quote this morning. Oh, I didn't bring it up here, did I? I was just thinking about this whole thing. Oh, I did. I said, let me write this. Sometimes I write quotes so that I can have a little book of quotes. And I put, the difference between living a good life and living an extraordinary one is the amount of times you acted upon the good and beautiful thoughts that entered your mind. Right? I said the difference between living a good life and living an extraordinary one is the amount of times you acted upon the good and the beautiful thoughts that entered your mind. Right? Procrastination breeds mediocrity. Action brings fulfillment. And breeds fulfillment. And I said, you know, Sylvia, if you had acted upon not even a quarter of the ideas that have flown, good ideas, divine ideas, right? You don't want to act upon every idea. But the number of times that I have had a good thought or inclination to do something, if I had acted on just a little bit of those, I would have an extraordinary life. Filled with so much accomplishment and giving, and because that's what life is about. But I didn't, right? So many of the ideas, I let them go. I put them to the side. I didn't do it. And I have a good life, but I want to start living a what? An extraordinary life. And there are people who live extraordinary lives because they act upon the good that is in their life. So, you know, this is our time to do that. And I looked up some quotes on procrastination. And Don McQuee said this, procrastination is the art of keeping up with yesterday. Right? Because we ain't doing nothing, we're keeping up with yesterday. I love that. And Dawson Trotman said, the greatest amount of wasted time is the time not getting started. Because if we had started today, right, 10 years from now, we're going to be happy that we started today as opposed to 10 years from now, right? And Karen Lamb said it this way. She said, a year from now, you may wish you had started today. It's true. And of course, the great Mahatma Gandhi said, the future depends upon what you do when? Today. Now. This is the future right here in this moment. So as metaphysicians then, we want to be able to take full advantage of the energy that is available to us, right? And if we find ourselves in a place where we are unable to move or where we are stuck in a particular situation, I want you to remember that we have an ace in the hole. We do. We have an ace in the hole. We have a support and a power that can help us to jumpstart any experience that we are in and to actually move us to where we want to go, as well as to take us places we never thought we would reach or go, to heights untold, right? Or places beyond. We have something within us that moves us beyond even our wildest dreams, our wildest intentions, right? Sometimes you just got to get it started. You just got to get in it and the universe starts, but we're waiting for the universe to bring everything first. It doesn't work that way. But we have an ace in the hole that once we begin to move, boom. What moves with you? The spirit moves with you. So what is this ace in the hole? Well, it's nothing other than the whole spirit of God in action, in movement, which is what we call AKA the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Now, we don't do a lot with the Holy Spirit, but we miss out, I think, because we don't. We don't focus a lot on it. But this is what is called the whole spirit of God in action. And this is what Mr. Fillmore says about the Holy Spirit. Let me read a couple of things here. The Holy Spirit, the activity of God in a universal sense, the moving force in the universe taken as a whole, meaning, first of all, everything in the whole universe moves, because everything actually is in motion, even when it's pausing. Because, right, you think of that pendulum, it pauses, but it moves again. Everything. Energy itself is what? Movement. It's a vibration, right? So when the whole of universe is the Spirit of God moving, which is what we call the Holy Spirit, the activity of God in a universal sense, the moving force in the universe taken as a whole. Then I'm going to skip down, and he talks about the Holy Spirit is the love of Jehovah taking care of the human family. The Holy Spirit is in the world today with great power and wisdom, ready to be poured upon all who look to it for guidance. So what is this saying? That energy is here in the world right now, waiting and ready to be poured out upon anyone who does what? Looks for it, seeks its guidance, right? Who asks for it. Its mission is to bring all men, women into communion with God. It moves us into a certain state of consciousness to guide men in order that they will not mistake the way into the light. The Holy Spirit is your guide to make, I walk this way. Do this. This is going to bring you toward the light. This is going to bring you towards your good. This is what would bring you towards God in action in your life. Do it this way. Here, and we have access to it at all times, right? Then it says, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to realize the activities of spirit in individual consciousness. So, you know, when we get these flashes and these thoughts, and we all know when we've had a God thought, a good thought, we don't act upon it. We just talked about it. We don't act, but you know that, oh, hey, that's good. And you just let it go. But when these things come, it is the Holy Spirit is to be filled, is to realize the activity of spirit in individual consciousness. Start recognizing when these God thoughts pop up into your head, that it's the Holy Spirit trying to get you to what? Move in a particular direction. Act upon this idea. Do this. Take this into account. The quickening of a man or woman by the Holy Spirit is peculiar to each individual and must be experienced to be understood. I did a whole talk, I don't know when, but the quickening of spirit. And when you're quickened, there's a movement. And each one of us can be quickened by spirit, but it's going to be particular to us. Yes. Right? So I don't quicken you. It's the spirit in you that will quicken you, shake you, rattle you, move you until you're doing what you need to do. And the experience of the Holy Spirit is yours. My experience is mine, because each of us has access to this wonderful spirit. In fact, it's the gift that Jesus said he was going to give and leave everybody. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to ask my Father, but I'm going to leave you a gift. And it's called the Holy Spirit, or the Comforter, or the Healer, right? Or the Revelator, that which is going to teach you, guide you, direct you, right? And I'm leaving it in my name, in my nature. And I like the way it says in the scripture here, this is the part that I like about it. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments, I will pray the Father, and he will send you another helper that he may abide with you forever. How long?
Forever.
In this life. So we all have our personal expression of God with us forever. And then it says, he calls it the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This is the gift that we were given, right? We have that divine gift. Our nature is the Christ nature. But within our Christ nature is also this infinite gift of the Spirit, the movement of Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is with us. And so I love that. So then it just says here, I'll just pick out a couple of other things. The Holy Spirit is the authority on the gospel of Jesus. It is the only authority that Jesus ever recognized. And whoever attempts to set forth his gospel from any other standpoint is in the letter and not in the spirit. So I love this. No man can know what Jesus' doctrine is except he that gets it direct from the one and the only custodian. See, I'm speaking and sharing ideas, but that revelation, that understanding of what I'm saying comes from where? Comes from spirit. I do my best to try to make it plain. But whether you get it is according to the spirit in you, right? And you're going to get it. Sometimes people will swear I said this. They'll come up and, oh, thank you for saying that. And I'm like to myself, I did not say that. But that's okay, because what the spirit caused them to hear what they needed to hear. The spirit will cause you to hear what you need to hear and do what you need to do. And it may not be what I'm hearing. It may not be the direction I'm moving. So don't be telling everybody that they should be moving in this direction if maybe spirit is telling them to move in another direction. I'm just sharing with you what has been downloaded to me. Now you take whatever you need of it and you want of it, and the spirit will reveal to you what is yours to hear, what is yours to know, and what is yours to do. You know, which is very good, because I don't take all the responsibility. I'm not responsible for anybody. Yeah. I'm responsible for who? Me. And that's enough to keep up with. That is truly enough, right? So this Holy Spirit is very powerful for us. And the last thing he writes about is the Holy Spirit and the Word. Because we say the Word was with God and the Word was God. The Word is that divine Christ idea, is the Word, right? And it's our I am, the Christ. And he says here, the Word is man's I am identity. That Word is that Christ in you, the I am. The Holy Spirit is the outpouring. See, there's always movement when you talk about the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the outpouring or activity of the living Word. I want you to get that, because whenever you start speaking from your I am nature, there's an outpouring of spirit. There's a movement of manifestation. There's a movement of that word going out into the ether, the creative, formative energy, substance of God, and it begins to do a work and to create. So when we're speaking, right, high words, divine words, your spiritualized words, your I am nature, the movement of spirit starts to happen. So sometimes people are saying, well, how come my manifestations? Because you're not speaking the word, the creative word, right? So this is the time, this is the year that we're going to watch our words, because we're going to be creating. This is the year when stuff's going to be happening. It's a creative year, and it's the first year, but it's going to be moving swiftly. So when you say, well, I don't want to do something, okay, the universe says you don't want to be gone. And you'll be like, wait, speak with power, because this is going to be important for you. And then it says, the Holy Spirit is the outpouring or activity of the living word. The activity produces the light of spirit, the truth of God, and the personality of being. So this is a quality that we have access to, that it is a part of who we are, this Holy Spirit. Right? This part of us that enables us to sort of move with the Spirit. I love the fact that I wanted to write here. Where did I have my B? I want to write this point here about moving with the Spirit. And I wrote down here, because the year of the horse starts February, we still have time. We'll still have time in the middle, too. You can always do it. Metaphor we're talking, right? But because we have time to let go, it doesn't start to what? February when? 17th. We still have some time to really let go. And I put, we have to begin to let go so that we can affirm, let's go. I'm going to let go so I can affirm, let's go. Right? And what I wrote down here, I love it. The difference between let go and let's go is what? Is what? It's the S. The difference between let go and let's go is the S. And that is what? The activity of spirit. So what I love about that, I put down here that when we let go, then spirit says what? Let's go. Let's go. Because you're opened up, you're trusting the process, and you're saying, I let go. Now spirit says, okay, let's go. You got the reins, but I really am the one that has the reins. Let's go. So when we let go, spirit is moving. And when the spirit is in the midst of anything, there's sure to be movement. When spirit is in the mix, there's going to be some movement. So you need to bring spirit into the mix of every aspect of your life, all your decisions. Bring that spirit in. Get that movement going, right? Bring the energy in, because that's what we want to be about. We want to, right? That's what this is all about. Jesus said to his disciples when they were, you know, he was preparing them when he was leaving, and he said he was going to give them this gift. But he also said, but you must tarry in Jerusalem until the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, comes upon you, and you are then imbued with power from on high. So there's this waiting, opening up, being receptive, tarrying in Jerusalem, tarrying in what? Peace, because Jerusalem means peace. So all this commotion out here, you want to get your direction, it's not going to come from out there. Still all of that energy. And go within so you can tarry in Jerusalem. Now this morning I had to, when I woke up, I have some things going on and I needed to take, I'm on a stronger antibiotic and they're trying to get rid of something. And this antibiotic is kicking my butt. And I just woke up and I just wasn't feeling well. And I said, I wasn't feeling strong. And I said, you know what? I got to tarry in Jerusalem. I got to be still so that, Spirit, you can imbue me with power from on high. So that I could stand up here this morning in this place at this time, being able to share with you and to do what I need to do. And so I just spent some time. I woke up about maybe 3 or so and just, again, not feeling well. And I said, let me bring everything together. Let me tarry. Let me let go so I can let the Spirit. And then when I finally went to sleep and I woke up again at 5 o'clock, I was ready to go. Ready to go. Ready to go. But I had to do what? I had to do my work, right? I had to do my work. And I said, ooh, I of myself can do nothing. I'm not going to call anybody at the last minute, so let's go, Spirit. We got to go, right? I did my part. I had to eat because I've got to eat with this stuff. So I ate and with some bland, nasty oatmeal, but I ate it. I ate it because I know I needed the strength to be able to, you know, take up some space. And then I was eating some other stuff, popcorn. I needed food to take up some of the energy of these chemicals or whatever. But Spirit was doing the work. Spirit is doing a work right here and right now. Now, I may leave here and go home and I'm going to bed. But right here, right now, the Spirit is moving, right? So this is our time. I want you to practice calling upon the Holy Spirit. That is the energy of God to move. Move in your situations. Move in your circumstances. And we don't really do that. We don't really call upon the, because Jesus said, you could ask anything in my name, but also if you ask the revelator, if you ask the healer, if you ask the Spirit, it will do. So sometimes, you know, you can ask Spirit to bring things into your life, and you can ask Spirit to what? Move things out of your life. But we must begin to ask. Have a relationship. Start using this consciousness, using these things in your mind. Draw the Spirit in. So this is what we think. Begin to ask the Spirit to move. There's a phrase that you'll hear people that will say, come, Holy Spirit, come. See, when you're in a situation and you need something, Spirit to move, just come. Holy Spirit, come. And when you're asking from that place of purity, the Spirit is going to do what Spirit does. You will be moved one way or another off of that situation or to another place or to another understanding, whatever. There's going to be the movement of Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Guide me. Lead me. Direct me. I'm ready to go. And then I wrote for my last affirmation, I am like Barack Obama, I'm fired up, because we got that fire energy of the horse. I'm fired up and ready to go. Let me hear you affirm. I'm fired up and ready to go. Say it again. I'm fired up and ready to go. One more time. I'm fired up and I'm ready to go. Woo, come, Holy Spirit, come. And so it is. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Yes. Fired up and ready to go.